Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special bonus podcast of the Engadget podcast. I'm senior editor Devendra Hardwar.
I'm deputy editor Sherlyn Lowe.
We are one day away from Apple's WWDC event.
This is the next day.
We're recovering from that event, but we want to talk to you all about some of the biggest announcements at the event. And that specifically is the Vision Pro headset and Apple entering the world of spatial computing. But before we get there, Sherlyn, is there anything you want to mention about this WWDC? How do you feel? Because you were getting over something yesterday.
I caught something on this trip. Nothing to do with Apple, really. I caught it right before, over the weekend in San Francisco. I happened to go to like a playground or two or something because kids are so disgusting, I guess. Anyway, hey, I love y'all kids, but y'all really need to watch out for
kids
germs sometimes.
Kids are gross. The day after my son went to daycare, he immediately caught something. So it goes.
That's what I hear. Yeah. But the event itself was nice. I mean, this is your first WWDC, Devendra.
It is, yeah.
How were you impressed with everything? I generally think Apple runs a pretty well-run ship, but this year was a little bit more flustered than usual.
Just a little bit. It's my first time at the Apple Spaceship Campus. It all looks really cool. It's a beautiful campus, incredible buildings. There was one building where I tested the Vision Pro, and I'll talk more about that, that just had like a gigantic wide opening into the park. It was almost like sitting in the house from Parasite, where you just have a full widescreen view of the outside. It was kind of incredible. But yeah, the scheduling and stuff was kind of a mess because we were running all around Apple Park. So now I fully know the layout of Apple Park and I'm tired of running around that place. So it's very cool. I'm glad I got to go. But yeah, you've been to a few of these, Sherlyn. Like, how does this WWDC stack up to others for you?
This is my second one because the others I've covered remotely during the pandemic, really. This is their second return to an in-person WWDC. Mm-hmm. And they still had a stage where they showed us a video. You know what I mean? Like, we were watching non-real people talk. Usually, in prior to the pandemic, WWDC would have actual speakers on stage. It would be live, like a real concert. And this time, we all watched a video. And it was not great, but other than the fact that there were hardware demo opportunities right after. And as usual at WWDC, you kind of have to walk like what feels like 5 miles to get to the next zone to check out the hardware instead of right outside of the
Unfortunately, the
keynote area.
Steve Jobs Theater is about a 10-minute walk from the keynote area. So, you know, that trek is not fun. There are golf carts going around everywhere. But initially, we had to do that walk. But yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad I got to be here. I'm glad I got to hang out with you. And we hung with Chris Velasco and worked with him a bit. We talked with other journalists at this event, too. Mm-hmm. Scott Stein from CNET. A bunch of folks that, you know,
Lauren Good,
respecting the space.
Nicole Nguyen. Sure, it was so fun to meet both of them for me. Yes, but the news itself this year, okay, people keep thinking, I heard from friends who are like, oh no, I feel FOMO for not going because I feel this might be historic. And I'm like, is it though? Do you feel like it was historic?
No, this is definitely a historic launch event for Apple. And that's kind of why I really wanted to come to this one, because all the rumors pointed to Apple doing a headset, something around a headset, right? So that would be an entirely new space for Apple. This is not a company that gets into new product categories very quickly. And when it does, it tends to be a big deal. I'm thinking of the iPod. I'm thinking of the iPhone. Until now, like for the past decade, Apple has not had as major launches as that, right? The AirPods are accessories for the iPhone. The Apple Watch is an accessory for the iPhone. They're interesting. It's new spaces, but they're not like fundamentally redefining how this company rethinks computing. And a headset would do that. And I think Apple did do that with the Vision Pro. So I have a lot to say, but first of your thoughts, Sherlyn, on the Vision Pro mixed reality headset.
I mean, it looks really interesting. A lot of people have pointed out that the design looks like a cross between like a HoloLens and a Quest. And it does kind of look like that. I am intrigued by the modular design. I want to know how to fit different head sizes, different, you know, hair types. And also they seem to have thoughtfully designed it around people with different eyesight needs. Specifically people with vision, but like with, you know, myopia or astigmatism, that sort of thing. And, you know, it seems like a thoughtful approach. I'm also really intrigued by the software. It looks like they've thought to do a lot of things that don't necessarily, it's not necessarily what we've seen in VR so far. It's not just work. It's not just gaming. It's a mix of a lot of different things. It's entertainment. It's, you know, work. And the mix of XR and VR in this, or AR and VR in this, that's where it really gets me. You've checked it out, right?
I did a demo. So let me
give the pitch
anybody. Yeah, hopefully Sharon's going to get one today too. But the broad pitch, if you have not read our reporting, please go do that, because I just wrote 2,000 words for my hands-on last night too. This is a mixed reality headset. It is a very nice one of those, but it reminds me a lot of the Meta Quest Pro. It is $34.99. It runs a new operating system called VisionOS. And VisionOS basically looks like you took your iPhone or iPad apps and put it, just layered them in front of the real world. So like you're saying, Sherlyn, it is more than just games, more than just like metaverse stuff or working, you know, doing virtual work. It is just computing. Like there's a simplicity to it. It is using Safari on a, you know, virtual screen that is huge, that is enormous. Yeah. It is calling people on FaceTime while you're wearing a headset and collaborating on a document together. But it's also a lot of things we expect from VR. It is, it'll let you watch movies and videos in like a private theater mode. It'll let you watch your photos and panoramic photos in like incredibly immersive views. Apple has also created a whole new thing called, I think it's called Apple Interactive Video. I have to look up the name of that again. But it's a whole new video format. It's 180-degree VR video. They're shooting it on a new 8K camera that Apple has developed as well. So if you think, like, we've seen a lot of 360-degree VR videos, right? We've been seeing them for pretty much a decade now. I think they tend to look blurry and fuzzy, and if they're not stereoscopic, they look really bad. This is just 180 degrees, but it's sort of like peering into a window into the real world. It is so sharp and so clear on this thing. And I think like that Apple is just getting so many things right. The hardware behind this thing is also really interesting too. It is running dual 4K micro OLED panels. Mm-hmm. Micro OLED is something we have not seen really on any consumer devices
yet. On consumer product,
Yeah, Samsung kind of announced that with the Wall TV, and that's not something for everybody to buy. So these are incredibly sharp, incredibly dense screens. The headset itself is powered by an M2 chip plus a new R1 chip for recognizing hand gestures. Oh yeah, there's no controller too. Like everything is done with hand gestures. It is very simple and elegant, and I also think it has a lot of problems, just like so many VR things. Like looking at this, Sherlyn, do you think it looks comfortable? Do you think this is something you'd want to wear all day?
Man, I don't know, because I haven't tried it on. I think you have, so you'd better know. But I also was curious, what do you think of the accuracy of those controls, right? Like, is it good at detecting when you've pinched your fingers? Is it good at detecting when you've, you know, made contact with your index and index finger and thumb? And also your eye gaze detection. That's a big part of it, right?
Yes, it has eye gaze detection. And whenever I see eye gazing in a VR headset, it is like a freaking superpower, right? It is you put your eyes to a button or menu option, and it's just highlighted. It is almost like telepathic capabilities. So this has eye tracking as well. Yeah, that's one of the first things I set up when I did my demo. I think the hand gestures, there's a pinch gesture for selecting things. Your hand does not have to be visible in the screen, because there's like a cameras below the front of the headset and everything that can see, what you're not actually looking at. So there's a pinch gesture for selecting. There's pinch and drag for scrolling left and right. I learned a fun gesture of a pinch and a flick to go up and down a website really easily. And I felt like Tom Cruise in Minority Report, right? The scene people keep talking about is like him holding up his hands, him pushing windows all over the place. I was like, oh man, they got it. They got it more than anybody else. And that alone is pretty impressive. So I hope you get a demo soon, Sherlyn, because then, I'm sure you'll have more fully formed thoughts on this. But, you know, just looking at the hardware, would you be intrigued? Would you want to wear this all day?
I mean, look, here's one feature that they demoed during the keynote, and I just lost my mind, right? It was the one where you're wearing the headset, and this is a feature that only Apple can do, okay? It's where you wear the headset, you walk up to your MacBook and you open it, and boom, you can use it in that virtual environment as if it were like right there. It's too cool.
We called it a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
You did. Yeah. We were talking about the screen-free laptop, kind of the same idea. But the way Apple has, you know, worked on handoff and SharePlay and AirPlay over the years, this is clearly all feeds into that. And it's going to be seamless. You just know it, because Apple products work very well with each other. And this will be the only VR headset that works this well with a laptop, because who else? I guess the HoloLens can work well with a Surface laptop if Microsoft tried. No. So I HoloLens, I'm really excited for that.
And Magic Leap, like those guys, they pioneered the space, but they quickly went to enterprise. They went to businesses that want to use like 3D manipulation of augmented reality stuff, but they didn't have to think about like, how does a normal person use this? Why would you have this by your desk or something?
Exactly.
I think that idea of blowing, you know, sitting down in front of your MacBook, blowing up the screen into something enormous and having this private view, you could put Windows anywhere. When I was opening up Windows, I could like pinch them and drag them to different corners of my vision. When you open a new window, they all kind of like float to make room for it too. It's all very like intuitive and very nice. Let me quickly go over my demo, right? So
yeah.
I got to this space. I basically got a note about doing a last minute Apple meeting. I took a golf cart to the space. They used an iPhone to measure my face. They mapped my face. So I had to move my face around like when you set up Face ID. I showed this phone my ears because it does specialized audio mapping for spatial audio. I went into another room and I gave somebody my glasses and they put them in a machine to like measure like what my glasses
the degree,
what my actual prescription is. Yeah. So I don't know if they like right there just made a spare lens in like 10 minutes while I was waiting for this thing. But they definitely, by the time I was wearing a Vision Pro headset, it looked perfectly fine in my eyes without glasses. So they clearly got my prescription or something close to it.
Yeah.
When I got to put on this thing, like it is a headset. Like you hold the front, you pull the rear strap, you pull it over your head. One thing that was interesting is that this one had a top strap. And that is not in any of Apple's images. It's not in any of the opening videos. I've asked representatives there and they're like, yeah, this has a modular design. So you could use a top strap if you needed it. And that almost makes me feel like they're obfuscating the sort of like more VR-like complexities that you typically see on a headset like the Meta Quest. So it almost feels like they're kind of hiding that a little. But yeah, for this demo, I had a top head strap. It feels good. It feels comfortable, especially with the rear head strap, but it still feels a little tight around my eyes. So that is one of those things, as amazing as this is still a headset. This is still a device that will be on your face. You get a little sweaty. You won't forget you have it on. You also have to carry around a little USB battery pack to keep it going when it's not plugged into a computer. So it's like an anchor battery pack, right? You could put it in your pocket. You could put it in a chair next to you, but you won't forget it's there. And that's required to get this thing running. So I did that. I did the setup. I did eye tracking setup. I looked at some photos. Incredibly sharp, incredibly crisp. I looked at some panoramic stuff. It just like fills your entire field of vision. It really will make you appreciate your panoramic photos more. I took a look at the sort of like 3D photos and 3D videos that Apple showed off with this thing too. You can take these by while you're wearing the headset. The front cameras can basically capture 3D moments. And it's really cool. You see a little kid like blowing out candles on their birthday and having fun. It's almost like literally capturing a memory from your brain and putting it back in a playback mode. So that's kind of cool.
Damn.
But let me tell you, I started to think about that, right? And this is where the downsides come in. To take that memory, you have to be wearing this headset. You have to be a parent.
And you won't be in the memory.
In this crucial moment. So you couldn't actually be present in that space. In that moment, your kid will see you wearing this weird thing and not really being there. And that is a trade-off. You know, maybe you could put it on a stand or something, but that's a definite trade-off. I did FaceTime chat with another Apple person who was wearing their own headset. And I saw this computer version, this computer-generated persona of themselves. And it just looked creepy. It's just like a weird CG model. It looked inhuman. So that is what other people will see when you FaceTime them. And I feel like if you FaceTime your mom or your dad, they don't want to see a weird dead CG version of yourself. They want to see your face. They want to see your imperfections.
My parents might prefer it. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, that's up to you and your parents, really. But I think most people will be like, I want to see my kid. I want to see the human. I want to see the human that I created, not this weird CG copy of them. And those sorts of things kind of just made me start thinking about, like, you know, it is still very much a VR thing. It is isolating. It is not an experience you can easily share with other people. Sure, I was able to see Avatar 2 in like a beautiful 4K 3D version. I went to a virtual theater which made me feel like I was in the front row of a multiplex. Like, it looked amazing.
Front row is bad.
So many of these things, okay. Yeah, it looks amazing. I did this, like, dinosaur demo where a dinosaur came out of the wall and sniffed my hand, and it looked so, it looked so clear. But again, it's only something I could see. I couldn't, like, enjoy it easily with my kids side by side. I've talked to some Apple folks, and they're like, yeah, well, maybe you could have multiple headsets to kind of share these experiences. And I was like, I didn't say this, I was like, F off.
$7,000 like, really? To spare.
Yeah. Another $3,500 for these things. So clearly, I think this is a really cool tech demo. I think for the people who afford it and they want developers to get this thing, to build for it, this is not a mainstream consumer product. This is like Apple launching the Mac Pro and being like, look at this amazing computer. But there's no Mac or MacBook, readily available. That's the thing. I think this is a pitch for the long term. Would you want to buy this thing, or would you want to wait
a couple years
to see how it gets cheaper?
Right. I was going to say, do you think it's going to get cheaper? Because it said a lot. My speculation was that there's the name Pro and the word Pro in the name.
Yep.
And so maybe there's a watered down version coming, and what, differences, what trade-offs will you make to save some money?
That is it's a reasonable assumption, given how Apple names its products, right? We didn't get the AirPods Pro first. We got the AirPods first.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get a MacBook Pro first. We got a MacBook first. So I feel like Apple's going a little backwards here. Unlike the iPhone or even the iPod, I think like those were a little more fully formed in terms of like what you could actually sell to consumers. Sure, the iPhone didn't really get good until it got 3G and it got an App Store, and that took a couple of years, but the vision of what the iPhone was, I think, was very clear at launch. I think that vision is pretty clear here, too. But this is not a device people are going to want within the next 5 years. Maybe we'll get a cheaper one, in several years. And that could maybe be more compelling. I almost wonder if Apple's like, it's just the pitch. It's just incepting the idea of spatial computing into people. So when they do initially, when they launch something that's like $1,000 to $1,500, people aren't going to be like, man, that is a lot of money for a pair of computer goggles. They'll be like, oh man, that is so much cheaper than the $3,500 Vision Pro. I have to have one. I feel like that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it has to be a little bit cheaper for me to even consider it. I don't know that I'll buy it like for a few years. I want to see the different use cases. I also will wait till it's more people are on it. I think so far the potential use cases and like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it still seems very like limited. But I see a future now, right, that Apple is on it, where we do this more. I don't know. You know what? If you're listening to this, you send us your thoughts. Podcast@engadget.com.
Podcast@engadget.com. My vision is like, my vision for the vision is that Apple needs to hit like $1,000, like $1,000 to $1,500, which is kind of the sweet spot entry point for a good ultra-portable laptop. Right? Like that is what you expect a MacBook Air to cost or an XPS 13. And at the end of the day, it is a headset, but it's also a computer. It's also a personal computer. It's also something that can like increase the power and potential of your existing computing devices. So again, keeps you in the Apple ecosystem, reinforces like, oh, I shouldn't buy an XPS. I should keep buying Macs because I can do this cool thing with this headset. I feel like that's where everything is headed. At the end of the day, like we mentioned this too, Apple, I don't think people really want to wear headsets. People who wear glasses don't actually want to wear glasses. Like I have to,
right,
to see the world, but I don't want to wear glasses. I think in like 10 years, when we have the capability of something like holographics, the ability to see virtual things, digital things in the real world without a screen, without glasses in front of our faces, Apple will just be in a prime position to own that space, because nobody else is going this hard at it, right?
I think if you look at a lot of people were like, oh, how much do you want to bet that AI is going to be a focus of WWDC? And it actually wasn't really even mentioned that much. We're looking at people are going for, chasing generative AI, whereas for Apple, the buzzword seems to be spatial computing. And you know what that reminds me of, right? When I heard the word spatial computing, I actually thought of Google's vision, which was ambient computing. Google's been pushing ambient computing for so long. It's not spatial, obviously. It's not the same. It's not VR. But what you're describing with the holograms and everything reminds me more of ambient computing. What Google wants to do with is every surface in your real world can be a computer, and therefore you can interact with it eventually, potentially. problem is, it looks like Google's given up on that for a little bit in the race to AI domination. What? Google gave up
on a product category?
I don't know if they fully gave up, but I think they're setting that aside while they chase AI, you know?
While they chase other things. It is funny, Apple did mention AI-like things at WWDC. They said Transformer model several times, and a Transformer model is a neural network, which is AI. Mm-hmm. So it almost seems like Apple is going through great pains not to directly say AI or make people think about generative AI, right? It's all very purposeful. Let me ask you this, Sherlyn. Do you think it's weird that Tim Cook or Craig Federighi or any of Apple's people, we didn't see them wearing this headset? There's no footage, there's no photos, there's no like, wow, this is making my life better. Do you think that's odd?
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, given the keynote hammed up Craig Federighi so much, there was so much.
He had like Stratocaster guitar at some point, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't have him in the Vision Pro, or they had like a lot of models and a lot of actors maybe in the thing for their keynote. It is a good point. I didn't even think about it actually. Wonder why.
I think it's very, again, we're all speculating. I think Mark Gurman is tweeting about this as well. He's like, is Apple doing meme control? Do they not want the executives to look silly while wearing this thing? Which is kind of an admittance that these things look silly. Maybe you don't want to be in Starbucks or in an airplane doing this, even though you can have like a great immersive computing view. I think that's interesting. Maybe something worth paying attention to. And maybe this is unfair, but I do feel like the great thing that Steve Jobs always did, he was a great pitchman. And he was a great pitchman in terms of like what a consumer wants. So his pitch for the iPod was like, you know, what, 20,000 songs in your pocket. His pitch for the iPhone was, it's a world-class phone. It's a world-class, you know, all these things. It's
a world-class in your pocket,
web browser and an iPod in your pocket. And it's always about him using it, him showing it off. And now we're at a point where Apple just doesn't do that. Like, they will play the nice promo video. They'll be like, this is the future of computing. But they're not actually representing the future of computing. They're actually, eating their dog food, as it were. I think that's odd and maybe something we should be thinking about. But I feel like if Steve Jobs were here doing the presentation, he'd have that thing. Like, he doesn't care. He would not DGAF about like how silly he looked. He'd be like, this is my baby. And I made this thing, and look how cool it is, and look what you could do with it. Yeah.
I guess they don't care about, I mean, yeah, maybe as they're worried about looking silly or funny, but then they put Craig Federighi in those costumes. I guess that's controlled memification. They wanted that type of memeing, but not a headset meme. I don't know. That is just weird to me. Also, speaking of, Tim Cook did pose for photos next to the Vision Pro at that Steve Jobs Theater demo space, and there were just mobs of people surrounding him. Me and Joel, our video producer, were there shooting B-roll, and I looked across the thing. I was like, oh, people are clearing out, it looks like. But no, they were leaving my side of the circle, and they left the other side because Tim Cook was there. Yeah, and everyone wanted to get the photo of him next to the headshot, because why not? I mean, the headset, because that's the photo you're going to use in all your posts after this. But it's just he didn't touch it. He didn't put it on. He's just posing next to it. I was like, bro, you could just, you know, you're Tim Cook. The rest of us were not allowed to touch
this. Those were probably unfunctional, but yeah, they were lighting up. So clearly something was working there. Again, I think that's weird. I was actually looking at Good Morning America this morning, and one of the hosts was talking to him. They were at the campus. And again, they're just in a room pointing to this thing. Like there's a weird disconnect between him
very
and
the careful.
Thing. So anyway. Yeah.
The ones that you tested out, right? Did those look the same as the ones we saw on display?
Yeah. They look the same, except they had the top head strap, which was very curious to me, because I think Apple's selling this like, oh, you have just this rear head strap. Yeah, it's very easy to put on and off. It's not like a MetaQuest. It's not like these cheaper devices. And I think at the end of the day, it could just be like one of those if you need a top head strap. So anyway, we're going to have more thoughts on WWDC 23. At our regular episode, so join us Thursday morning around 10:30 a.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel for our live stream. We'll talk about the MacBook Air 15 and all that other stuff, but I really just wanted to get our thoughts out about the Vision Pro. So anything else you want to add, Sherlyn?
No, I just definitely come listen to the Thursday or Friday episode, whether it's on the audio platform or on our YouTube channel live at, like just at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Thoughts on iOS, thoughts on macOS, thoughts on some of the new stuff. I urge you to come. I have so many thoughts. Yes.
Awesome. All right. Join us then. As always, folks, you can find me online at @Devendra on Twitter.com. I'm @Devendra at Mastodon.social. I'm also on Blue Sky. Sherlyn, anywhere you want to pitch out?
I am on Twitter still @Sherlyn Lowe. I am at bluesky at sherlyn.bsky.social. Thanks, Devendra, for the invite. And, elsewhere at engadget.com, you'll find all my details.
And as always, folks, if you have questions or comments about any of this stuff, email us at podcasts@engadget.com. Thanks, folks. We're out.
Bye.